Whose woods these are, I think I know. Are they haunted? I don't know. What is in them? I don't know. I don't know. Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hearty White. I am not Hearty White. Join us now, won't you, if you dare, as we journey into the dark recesses of the human consciousness. It's not too late to turn back.
It's too late to turn back.
It is not too late to turn back.
No, it is too late.
All right, that is more frightening. It's more frightening for it to be too late to turn back.
I agree.
So we agree.
Let's just say we disagreeably agree.
What are you anyway, ghost?
Ghost host.
What?
Hey, I'll be right with you, y'all. So you brought the plans?
I got the plans with me right here.
All right, so let's look at them. This is the haunted mansion, then.
Can't call it that.
Can't call it that.
No, that name's taken. We're calling it the Villa of Horrors.
What?
Villa of Horrors.
Villa of Horrors?
Villa?
Villa. Oh, Villa.
Of Horrors.
Of Horrors.
Villa of Horrors.
Villa of Horrors. That's a man. That's hard to say.
Yes, that's part of the scary part. But a lot of names were taken already.
All right, so it's the Villa of Horrors. Now, let's see. Please interpret these blueprints for me.
Yeah, well, first of all, nothing's written on them.
I noticed that. I thought it was very light ink.
Yeah, it's ghostly ink. But so let me just, if you can picture it now. So you go in the villa.
All right.
And the first thing is what we're calling no exit foyer.
What's that like?
So you go in and then you're in a little car. All right. And they all, everybody, maybe three or four to a car. And you go in this all white room and the cars just stop. And then you all stare at each other awkwardly for a full 5 minutes in this white room.
Oh, that is that scary?
I feel like it is existentially scary. And 5 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, that's like the length of a song or a long, really long song.
A song where you're thinking, man, this song is long.
Yeah, that length. So, okay, so they sit there. Now, I don't know how scary that is. In 5 minutes, say a lot of these rides only take 5 minutes.
Well, it's not a ride, though. You're going to get out of the car and then walk a lot of it. Because some of it, the scary part is we grab people and hurt them.
No, you can't do that. I don't think that you can't do.
Anyway, we have lawyers going to look into that because they also have to look into the legality of us using actual human remains, which we'd like to do like the movie Poltergeist.
I don't think that's right.
Well, just we're looking into whether you can use them for decoration.
Whoa, okay. That doesn't sound right either.
Well, what we wanted to do is have a customized sort of thing. So you'd come in and the customer's actual ancestors would be there, their remains, whether mummified or whatever, what have you.
I would think that would be almost impossible to do.
I think we could do it if we had some kind of Jiffy DNA thing. We could take DNA samples as the person came in, make a clone, age it. So just be them. Maybe that'd even be better. Them, their own corpse, faced with their own corpse, which was manufactured in a series of underground tunnels under the Villa Horrors while they were waiting in line.
I don't know. I think you're depending a lot on technology that has not been invented yet. And I think maybe you should go back to maybe people, just people dressed in sheets.
Wait. Back up now. What?
Just go back, like have them dress in sheets to look like ghosts.
Ghost sheets.
Yeah, like bed sheets.
Ghosts get into those?
No. So, on the old movies, have you ever seen a ghost?
No, there's no ghosts.
I know, that's why it's difficult to make like a to make one on film because there aren't any. So you have to imagine it. So what's the scariest thing that you can imagine?
Well, I would say sheets with a very low thread count.
Oh, I know. They're not very luxurious.
No, they don't feel like satin.
So like a rough,
doesn't even have to be rough, just not super soft
sheet. Okay. And then that's a scary thing.
Yes. Now imagine that animated, like with a melon under it.
Ah, now we're getting closer to something I like with a classic ghost like I'm talking about. Now, where did the idea people have been?
Can I take a minute?
Go ahead. Go off.
My throat, you know, I get talking like this.
I understand.
It's going to give me adenoids.
I know. I think you have adenoids.
Does everyone have them?
Yeah, it's like saying you're going to give me tonsils.
All right.
So I won't talk today because my friend is not just because my friend is starting a haunted house. It's getting near Halloween season. Already you see all the temporary Halloween stores are popping up, like the stores that sell strange flags. Like you can get, like a gas station goes under, suddenly someone will be there selling bearskin rugs and a Confederate flag with Shemp's picture in the middle or something like that. That's a crossover. How many people, there's one fella going, yeah, you know, that appeals to me. We can talk. I'd love to talk to anybody about their beliefs and tell them why they scare other people. That's the thing about the haunted house. All you have to do is really show your neighbors. Just walk into a haunted house and every room is just your neighbor's house. Say, man, this is scary. But for the grace of my own delusions, go I might be over there being them. I remember when I was a child. This is a second language for me, so I don't know. Your plurals confuse me. Maybe I was more than one child. I feel like I was, like I lived more than one life. You know, because you're a different intelligence at different ages, so it feels like you're different children. That's why I say children. Every mistake I make, I can account for. Don't worry about that. I got an excuse for everything. I'm like a little children. So I remember going over to people's houses, neighbors' houses, and smelling their pork chops frying or something. It was always some food we didn't have. You know, there was always some odor. So, what are y'all cooking? Because that is not what my granny makes. So you're eating something alien. Yeah, well, we're having falafel.
What now?
That's not what we have. If it isn't in good housekeeping, my granny doesn't make it. There is a period, and I come from a strange culture that had no parents or something. Because I remember my grandmother didn't cook like her grandmother. She cooked like Campbell Soup Company or something, or whoever invented all these recipes that I grew up on, which were largely involved, take a can of our product, add some other product that we make, and there you have a meal fit for a king. Ladies, don't you want to spend most of your... Don't you? They wouldn't say don't you in those ads. I could never get voiceover work back then. Don't you want to drive a car Chevrolet or something? Because that's a little put on. That's not my real act. I'm going to do my real daily speaking voice for you. Not any kind of put on caricature. Hello. This is my daily speaking voice. It's not... I don't know how to do it. I just speak to you like I was speaking to an ordinary stranger. But you're no ordinary stranger. You're a stranger I haven't met. That's extraordinary. And yet, here we are, bonding together, glued together, like Siamese twins or some other genetic anomaly like that you might find in a house of horrors. Now, how's that horrible? That's just people are born like that. That's normal. It's our fears that make things horrible. It's our fears that make things spooky. That's why when the Three Stooges go into a house, they're extra scared because they're extra dumb. They don't realize that it's just some fellow with a knife. That there aren't really gorillas. There might, and always the gorilla is real, actually. It's never just a guy in a gorilla suit. That's a very meta thing about the Three Stooges he's looking at. That's a guy in a gorilla suit, but they think it's a gorilla. But then they say, oh, no, it's a guy in a gorilla suit, but it's really a gorilla. I get it all confused. But they're scared just because they don't know. It's a lack of knowledge. And you see that in all scary movies, whether it be the super intense Don Knotts horror movies of the 60s. Ah, get his guts ripped out like that. I don't remember. Was that one? There's a Don Knotts zombie one that Sam Raimi made, I believe. What he did is he tied Don Knotts to a 2x4, and then they had people hold each side, and they ran through the woods like that. It's called a steady Don. And then he's like, what do I do? And it's just hold the camera. Don Knotts also invented the two-camera Desi Arnaz, what we call the Desi Arnaz system. I said, how is that? Because it's got Desi's name on it and everything. I know. That's why you always engrave your Social Security number on your ideas. Do you really have to get paid for your ideas? Or is it okay just to starve and die? I don't know. That debate will go on forever among rich people. But I would just like to get back to my idea for this. Not my idea for the Villa Horrors. What are you saying? I know this is going to be a problem. When it's in print, it looks fine. So that's why we're not worrying. I say we. I'm invested heavily in it. And I invested, something a little unusual, hell money. Now, if you're Chinese, not really Chinese, if you're a scholar of Chinese religion, you will know that when you go to hell, which is where everybody goes, it's just like the villages in Florida. When you go there, and everybody's got a golf cart. Lord, all these old demons zipping around in golf carts. When you go to hell, you need resources. Now, how do you get them? Maybe you weren't rich enough. You need hell money. And you can only get that if people in life send some offerings to you. So go to an Asian grocery store, Chinese. I don't know if anybody else does this. And they will have some hell money or some other things you can burn to send to hungry ghosts. How do you handle a hungry ghost? Gut flesh. I don't know. I don't know if all ghosts don't want to eat your guts. Granted, a lot of them are very bitter, and so they're an acquired taste. Because they have to deal with ghost hunters. A lot of the people that you'd want to be hunting ghosts aren't. It's like police. No one ever becomes. You see, you want Andy Griffith, but it's not Andy Griffith. It's your coach's son. So, in an ideal world, we'd have Pearl Bailey would be like a ghost hunter. And she's now, come on now, stop hurting these people. It'd be somebody like that. Say, yes, Miss Bailey. Somebody you respect. Somebody in my day, she's like the queen. Pearl Bailey was like a queen. I thought she was our queen. I would have said, yes, she would have deserved it. I loved her when I was a child. I don't know. It's weird people that you look up to. But everybody, I think my family too. Yes, she's a very good person. So I don't know who was great or who wasn't, but I remember seeing pictures of her sitting in the United Nations. So I liked all jazz figures for me had some kind of magic, even if they had terrible, terrible drug problems. God bless them. I feel I cut them some slack. I cut all people some slack because life is so hard. Look at this horrible house. It's going to be really just real life horrors. Here's a guy agonizing over. He goes, do I refinance my mortgage? Oh, the banality of horror. The banality of evil. I said that. I made that up. No, you didn't. My name is Hannah Arendt. It is. I've traveled back in time. I'm so many, many people in history. All of them exactly 6'2", so it's easy to find me because I can't change my height or anything like that. Are there superheroes? No. Next question. One of my dogs, I'm just going to say this right now because this is scary if you're in a quiet house, likes to take its metal dog bowl, pick it up and slam it down as a way of saying, I'm hungry. And it sounds like, you know when people are haunted and they say, oh, it sounds like somebody dropped a piano. And they go, sometimes they'll go check on the piano to see if it's been dropped. How that would happen. I don't know, thieves carrying it out, drop it. Say, no, they didn't. Well, we know now a lot of this is from living over limestone caverns. And I will talk about frequencies like that and resonance. What are you debunking all the interesting stuff in life? I don't know. I don't know. If tomorrow they said, no, there's no ghosts, no, there's no spooky stuff, Would you really be then bored with the world? Would the universe really then seem uninteresting or not mysterious to you? Because I think it still is. We still don't know what happens to you when you die. All right? But I'm going to vote again. This is just me and say, how can you? I thought you're so open-minded, Hardy. How could you not believe in ghosts? Well, my mind isn't that open. It's got, let's put the windows of my mind are open, but they have screens on them. So bugs don't fly in. You understand what I'm saying? So, because I don't want to get stung. So I just think that probably what doesn't happen when you die is you just don't become clear. Right? I don't think you turn to an opaque, smoky version of yourself. Well, that's not that. It's just you become a different resonance. I like how people yell at you for getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong. Ghosts are just a different frequency resonance. Man, people will yell at that you get. Say, I'm sorry. I want to learn. But I'm not willing to just take your word for it. Can we have some? Read this book. I told you. Read all the books I've read. Is it right that we should all think alike? You know what's ironic is right now a ghost has just appeared next to me. I'm freaking out because I'm just saying, and y'all think, I told you that would happen. You have riled the spirits of the dead. If my spirit, I was hoping that my consciousness would go back into some kind of larger collective thing. If I have to stay me for eternity, sort of floating in space as just me, but in a sheet. I tell you, I might be a little disappointed because then I'll be without a body. I am going to be bitter. And immediately I'm going to fly to some kind of historic site like Poe's house or something like that. I'm going right to the Hemingway house. And dang it, I'm going to start knocking over vases and clumping around, clump, clump, clump. Get out. Get out. Take off your shirt. I don't know what I would say if I was a ghost. I think would I be a friendly kind of ghost, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I love people, but I'd love to have my own place. So if I was a ghost, I think I'd just haunt, like, whatever available. I'd go to a hotel, and whatever room is empty, I would be in that one. There's no fun. It wouldn't appeal to me to leave an imprint in a bed if somebody's staying there. Ugh, I don't want to be around their stuff and everything. And, you know, when people get into a room, it becomes fetid. And it would be nice. If I was a ghost, I would have no body odor, would I? I would lose that. And so I would be of no interest to a lot of advertisers. If Artie White is a ghost, how do we sell him deodorant? If Artie White is a ghost, how do we make him feel bad about his body? If Artie White is a ghost, how do we make him feel like he has to die? If Artie White is a ghost, how do we make him feel like he's allergic to things? If Artie White is a ghost, how do we make him feel like his face is too old? How do we make him feel like he's not cool enough? How do we make him feel like his hair is too bald? Hair is too bald. My head is too bald. My hair is not bald. My hair has plenty of hair on it. What hair I do have. It is so, you know what, it's really, you don't think it is, but it's popular to be self-deprecating. What takes a lot of guts is to go out and say, hey, I think I look okay. Because when you do that, people go, no, you don't. So, okay, I think I'm short and ugly. I love that Hardy. I love him. Keep putting yourself down. All right, it hurts. Yeah, it's not funny if people are okay with themselves, isn't it? That's not very entertaining. It's always funny if people don't know themselves very well. And that makes us feel good. Now, if you were on a desert island, who would you mock? I know, I think about that a lot. I go, I don't know. I probably wouldn't. There's nobody else around. Mocking is usually how I make myself seem stronger to somebody, so some kind of other strong figure will like me. So they know I am not weak. Will the weak be represented in this haunted house? Yes. It's going to take a week. Whoa. Oh, what do you mean? It is going to take a week to get through the Villa Horrors. I think that's too long. All right. Well, we could scale it back to a couple days. Still, I think it should just be a few minutes. A few minutes? What am I going to cut out? Well, let's see. Let's look at the plans again. What is this? Day in Ohio. Yeah, it's like a day in Ohio, but scary things happen. All right. Get rid of that. Really? Yeah. I know it's not fair to Ohio. There's a lot of other...
I'm not saying Ohio's scary.
I know.
We just... It just seemed normal, so we picked it.
There's a lot of more normal places than that.
How about a scary day in New Orleans?
No. I've had that. No. I don't know we need a day, anything. It's just a few minutes. Can't you just make a picture on the wall that looks like sometimes like it turns into a skeleton?
I thought you said no human remains.
To fake it. They don't have to be real.
But how... I think if we go with the real stuff, it's going to look better.
No, you can't.
Well, they're dead. They don't know.
No, that's not the point. The point is that, you know, you can't go around. It may be somebody's relative or something, or that person didn't give permission for what happens to their body after they're gone.
Do you have control of that?
I don't know. I think a little.
I don't know.
Do you?
I don't know. There's all those exhibits with the dead people without their skin playing Frisbee.
I know. I don't know if all... You should go up and ask them whether they have paperwork documenting the permission of the deceased to use their remains like that.
That's a good one. You're like a comedian.
Yeah, that's a good boy. You give people funny things to do like that.
Right.
All right. Well, back to your plans. Well, what happens next? So we got as far as...
Did we get to the ankle-breaking room?
We did not get to the ankle-breaking room. What happens there? Is there like some kind of... The floor is off kilter or something?
No. We just grab out, break the ankle immediately, swiftly.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And I'll tell you why. Because it'll hurt people.
Well, I mean, that's what fear is, isn't it? Pain?
No. The fear is just the anticipation of the pain. The pain doesn't even have to get there. The fear is like, oh, things are going to be bad. That's enough. So just call it the ankle-breaking room and have, like, feathers hit people's ankles and stuff. They'll freak out.
Oh, I'm getting it now. I see. Maybe I thought something was different. I thought horror. Actually, something horrible had to happen to the person.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think you have to... You don't have to actually disembowel the guest.
Oh, that makes sense. That's why we were talking about repeat business and feeling pretty pessimistic about it.
Right, exactly. This way you keep your customer alive and they come back.
I get you. Also, it wouldn't be a place that they would fear necessarily. They'd want to come back to it.
Now you're getting it, yes, because they like to be scared because it gets their heart all racing, gets them some adrenaline, gets them pumped up. You see, we like that in life. You can't just spend your life sitting on a couch like that. You have to have some kind of adventure, and a lot of times life will give it to you whether you want it or not because of your impermanence. You say, I'd like to just have a quiet life. Well, golly, that's going to be great, but here's something horrifying. And it will always be there. Every life has a little spice. It is the star anus. Let's say something better than that. It is the, what is a potent spice? It is the potent spice, the cumin of life. Tragedy is. Well, I like cumin. Of course, we like cumin. That's the thing. But once it gets in you, it seeps out of your pores.
Tragedy does.
Cumin.
I'm lost.
As we all are. That's why I smelled the falafel in that children's home.
Which children?
Timmy.
Oh, I get it.
I know now. See, if you have not listened since the beginning of the show, you're going to have to go back, and there also is a handbook, which is lucky. Also on the web, I'm going to give you a really long website right now that you can go to. www. Oh, it's too... I've messed it up again. I'll mail it to you. It's easier for me to just message you the link and clip and paste. There's too many colons in it and dollar signs and all that. It looks like Andy Cap is cursing to me. So I'll just send it to you. But then you can play along in the home game. That's frightening. I'd be frightened to be on a game show if everybody was a skeleton. I would be frightened. A lot of things are frightening. Just going to work would be frightening if everybody is an axe murderer. I think it'd be frightening. It'd be frightening just getting your car washed by zombies. I don't know. There's different kinds of zombies. Some wouldn't bother me. The real ones, people have taken a toxic, some kind of terrible drug, and they're lost their ability to have any control or something like that. I'm not as afraid of those. But the fictional zombies, I'm very afraid of. Isn't that strange? A lot of times things that aren't real are more frightening. Let's talk about your fears, my friend. What are they? I'm asking for an advertiser friend of mine who is curious. What are your fears? If you could write them down, it'd be so helpful. And then we could target things right to you. So what kind of, I could even pick who you could vote for based on your fears. I like to write down my, this is what I like to do, and you can do this or not do this. I both do it and don't do it. I will write down a list to say, I'm going to write down all my blessings. And then I'm going to write down all my fears. And then I'm going to make a line between the two, like one fear to one blessing. And then that'll be my band name. Right? Right? Health Cancer or something is my new band name. Right? Friends Loneliness. It doesn't work. They're not catchy band names, but that's the problem. All catchy band names have been taken, including, I'm sure, Villa Hars. I'm sure it has. And I'm saying, villas can be scary, though. Like, I'm thinking like a chateau, a haunted chateau, like an old castle. Think of this. I'm going to say this is so scary right now. Picture in your mind an old castle. We're in this old castle. It's dark. The stone walls are 2 feet thick. There's a smell of dampness, of stale air that hasn't circulated in years. The walls are heavy. The air is heavy. There's a strange stillness and sounds echo through the halls like caves. What's that? What's that strange sound? And then, as you turn a corner, you see the scariest thing that you've ever seen, a giant foot. It's a huge, just a huge foot. That's from the Castle of Otranto, and that's not as scary now as it was when it was written. But I almost said Hugh Walpole when I meant Horace Walpole. Oh my goodness, how you would have laughed at me. And that's a fear too, is being, having people think you're stupid or being mocked. None of us want to be ostracized like that. None of us want to be turned out. None of us want to be outcasts. Unless it has a K in it and we get to be Andre 3000. None of us wants to be that. None of us wants to be shunned. So we all want to be included. We all want to be loved and liked. So sometimes our horrors are just feelings of isolation or being alone. And you got to realize that when that happens, I want you to look up and you'll notice acoustic tile. You'll think, acoustic tile in a haunted house? And then you'll see an exit sign. And then you'll look down and you'll see, what? This is just a ride. There's nothing to be scared of. And then you'll get bitten by a deadly spider. You go, what? I wasn't expecting that. And who knows what'll happen from the necrosis. Oh, it's looking ugly. I chose not to go to a doctor. Now look at it. Dude, do something about that. That's part of the ride. That's why this haunted ride that I'm talking about, of the Villa R, goes on for a lifetime, doesn't it? And there's breaks. That's how they make it more horrifying, is that sometimes you'll move into a part of the haunted mansion that seems like, what, a feast? With all my friends and music? Oh, this is lovely. Oh, this is beautiful. What are we, at a wedding? Look how young and handsome everybody looks. Look how much fun we're having. Oh, it feels ecstatic. What is this next room? No, I don't want to go into the next room yet. I'm still at the party. Oh, that's how life works. It's very scary. And we are ushered in to the room. In that little, so why am I now riding in a car like that? Because life drags you along like that. You're not allowed to linger. But I want to linger. I want to linger plenty. You can't linger plenty. Why can't I linger plenty? You can't linger plenty. I had a bet that I could say linger plenty 4 times. I'm in a Dick Tracy fanciers club. And we have little dares like that. Say, oh, work a Dick Tracy character into something you're saying that's important, like testimony before Congress. And you'll get, and then they send you something. I don't know what I'm going to get. Hopefully some kind of vintage panel. Oh, my friends, you know what makes my heart less horrified is you. Having people around you. Listen, loneliness is, the number one killer of buzz is loneliness in this country world, life, universe even, maybe. We don't know how lonely something out in the depths of darkness in the universe is. There could be some life form that's only one of its kind. So all life doesn't have to reproduce. What if some kind of life came up and there's only one of it? Just a lonely consciousness drifting in space, unaware that there's anything else out there, but feeling an emptiness and a yearning in its heart, in its soul. Yes, friends. And his name is Kevin. I know that's weird. That's a man's name on our planet. But there are the similarities and. And is that true or not? I feel like the older I get and the less my brain is able to work efficiently and healthily. Yes, I believe that is true. My worldview is changing because my life is changing. The clock is ticking. I could tell. I'll tell you what, you go into this waiting room and you take a number and you go, oh man, 152? I'm going to be here forever. They're only on number 4. And then you realize that this is life. And when I get to your number, you're gone. So enjoy the waiting room. Be glad you have number 152. Go get a copy of Boy's Life. Read it. Read some other old magazines. If they have Grit, I don't know if anybody's selling Grit. I would say that. Does anyone here sell Grit, the family paper? I'm interested in it. No one? Nobody? The problem that happens is some of the comic books in that waiting room are so old that I want that rubber ape mask or something, or the caveman mask for $1. Not available anymore. I look at that and I keep thinking you ought to be able to mail back in time. Things that are in print, that deal should be good forever. You should be able to get a paper from the 1920s and go and answer a classified ad and have those people still be there. That's what I do. I go to the microfilm at the library and I get a paper from 1930 and somebody's selling a piece of furniture. And I go and I buy it because it's always cheap and it's an antique. And every time I try to shop in the 2000s, forget it. People want too much. Greedy now. So you can't do that, can you? Things are temporary.
Like the human remains.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's why it's better to use the dummies, like I said.
I know the real ones, man, are delicate too.
Do they? How do they? I don't even want to know about it.
Well, we've been getting it from a catalog.
I know there's legitimate reasons to have them and research and everything like that. And people have skeletons, real skeletons, and skulls.
I got an alien skull.
All right.
I bought it.
All right. I'm sure it's real.
No, it ain't real. What's wrong with you?
All right. Well, I don't know what you're talking about then. But God bless you. A lot of people believe a lot of different things. Whatever makes... Hey, is it okay to believe anything that you want? I don't... it's none of my business. I wish you would believe everything I do, but I can't do anything about it. I try to do things about it by tricking people or trying what we call influence. But that's about it. I don't know how much I'm willing to do. I don't know how far I'm willing to go to impose my beliefs. But, you know, some of them are necessary. So if I believe you shouldn't be cruel to a child or murder or something like that. Now, how far am I willing to go to enforce that? Right? What if there's a murderous child? What do I do? Well, thank goodness I can imprison people in a beam of light. And if I didn't have this gift, I don't know what I would do. life would be so confusing to me. But for me, it's easy. I just encase them in this light, and I change their minds with the power of mine. I just project it at them like that. A lot of people have to use a wand. I don't. I'm a very advanced sort of wizard. I do have to sort of cup my ear, though, to hear them. I do that. I think it's going to help me hear better. I cup my ear, and I just hear the mumbling in a different frequency. So people go, so I'm sorry, what? And I'll cut my ear, and I'll hear, yes. I'm eating all sorts of strange foods now that I can't hear. I haven't lost it. It's just natural aging, ear, whatever they call that. But presbyopia for your eye, Presbyterian ear is what I have. I can only hear Presbyterians. Isn't that interesting? And I could single you out like I got those glasses like in They Live or something. I can see when I put them on, Presbyterians look like Franklin the Turtle from the cartoon. Isn't that neat? He's cute. I like him. And everybody likes turtles. Real turtles have an odor. But not the cartoon ones. No, they're sweet. And I like them also because cartoon animals tend to accept one another. Say, hey, I know that normally I wouldn't hang out with a bear because he'd eat me, bite my head off or something. But in that land, and then we live like, I think it's great that children grow up thinking that. But then some of them have to be reprogrammed. So, we really need to kill the bear and the turtle. Why? Because we need it. But why, Grandpa? Because we need to kill them now. But why? Why can't they just live together? No. But why do we need to do it? Because they need to die. But why? Because. So maybe it's good to question some things. Do we really need turtle bear head soup? Do we? See, and that changed, and now we don't. And that little boy made all the difference in the world. You may never have heard of him, but he's the one who finally said, do we really need to bite the heads off of turtles? Could they not wear little baseball caps and live in little houses with their turtle parents? Couldn't life be more like those gentle cartoons? A little bit? More like, what cartoons should the world be like? Animated cartoons? Like Saturday morning cartoons? Or funny paper comics? Should the world be more like the Lockhorns? Or Blondie? Or Snuffy Smith? Or Ziggy? Or they better do it every time? Or whatever. I forget. There's a lot like that. Here they go again. Those last two may not be actual comic strips. I bet they said it. There's another one. There's old 60s comic strips that are gone now, like Dondi and Henry. And then Dondi Henry, after they both died. It's just like Curly Joe. And also Nancy, my favorite comic strip of all time. There's nothing better than Nancy. Nancy is a perfect thing to look at. Look at some Nancy strips. Okay, Nancy's Sluggo. Look at those beautiful things. And they pop out of that page. You say, this is something wholly other. This is different than everything else on the funny page because it's so far superior. Because it's crazy. It's so crazy. It's nutty nut nut. I love it. It looks just visually. It's so beautiful to me. So I just thought I'd say that. I've outed myself as a Nancy fan. As a Nancy man, it didn't sound good, but I don't care. I out myself as anything. Whatever you think I am. I'm unashamed of even the things that I'm not. So whatever you think me is fine with me. Because that's not necessarily me. I know that you don't know the real me because I don't. Therefore, I'm pretty sure no one does. We are all ghosts. We are all made of mist. We are all mist when gone. We are all cloud-like things. We are all floating spirits. We are all clear and free. We are all flying clouds. Come and fly away with me. I am a ghost in this world. I am shifting all my keys. I am changing my melody the way it changes me. And I'll sing like this forever, and I'll always modulate, and I'll mod. Sometimes I like modulating just like a quarter tone. Say, why do you do that? Are you unfamiliar with music? No, I'm just trying to take it to the next level. Crappy. Because I think that is the next level. And then it comes good again. But I'm going for this. There's good music. And there's great music. Then there's really excellent music. Then there's crappy. And then there's outstanding. You say, I'm a lot farther up than you think I am. Because I'm at the top level of crappy. Right below outstanding. So the only thing I have to do to actually get to the next level, to be taken seriously as a composer and musician, it would be to learn music or to learn to play an instrument. But I'm telling you, the ideas, I think, are sound. My ideas are sound. Like one idea I have for music is invent like that. I invented that. Also, be free. I invented that too. Be free. No one has ever done that. No, they have. Everyone's done that. So what is your art, your life? Well, someone's done that too. What can you do that's different? Well, why I challenge the premise. Why be different? Why would you want to do that and stand out like that? What I'm trying to do is fit in. I'm trying to be subversive, not different. I try to be everybody think I'm the same and then be secretly not. That's the only way I can figure out how to do it. Right now I'm cupping my hands, and when I do that, you think he's not really cupping his hands. Why would I say I was doing it and I didn't do it? Why would I do that? Why would I say I was cupping my hands and then not cup my hands? I'm cupping my hands, all right? All right, all right. And now what am I catching in my hand? I'm catching in my hands the tears that I've cried. And I look over the years, and I'm looking down and say, oh, what a salty, fetid pool of old tears. Is this some kind of eye juice that came out of my eyeballs and all? What's in it? Skin cells. Is there blood in it? Is there anything like that in my... I don't know, man. Is it like sweat? How are tears not like sweat? Do tears have an odor? Could you rub antiperspirant on your eyes if you didn't want to cry? I think that would make you cry, ironically. So I just I uncup my hands and all the the tears are everywhere now, and we'll have to get something to wipe it up. But I don't know where I was. I don't know what I was going to do with those anyway. Why hold on to something like that? Why hold on to grief that's stale when you're going to get fresh grief? You're going to get fresh. You're going to get fresh grief. You're going to get fresh. Grief is always best served fresh. Horror is always best fresh. Don't dig back in your life for past griefs. Don't dig back in your life for past horrors or failures. There's some fresh failures in your futures, fresh horrors. What you got to do now is you got to get ready for them by putting on your Sunday best, or else you'll have nothing to be ruined. You cannot, a pie in the face is not funny if you're already covered with pie. It's only funny if you're wearing a tuxedo. So put on your tuxedo and get ready for the next round of human humiliation that is a life experience. How do we mitigate this? Because everybody has to go through it, and therefore it's not tragic. It would be tragic if it didn't all end the same way. But everybody's life ends in death. Thank goodness. Otherwise, I'd be so jealous of some people. So he gets all that stuff, and he gets to live forever. Well, no, nobody gets to live forever, so isn't that good? There's no reason to be jealous of anyone, I think. And that's because, why is that? Because I'm a multi-billionaire, and a lot of people are jealous of me. That's not true. I wonder if anybody's jealous of me. I'd be jealous of me for some things, and other things not. So I wonder if I am jealous of myself. I'm not always myself. When I'm not myself, is it out of jealousy? These little clever bon mots. I'm going to write down everything I say. I tell you what, that was sarcastic. Sometimes I get angry with the radio because the radio will make a record of all of everything I say, whether it's worthless or not. So I think that's interesting. And some things I say with such conviction and emphasis, it sounds like I'm saying something, I'm saying nothing. A lot of music is like that. It says, oh, look at those lyrics going by as if they had meaning. And they're not. They're just there. They're placeholders. They're rhythm. And perhaps what I'm saying to you right now is just a placeholder. It's just rhythm. And it's not the content of my words that's communicating things to you. It's the sound of them, because you detect in the sound actual authentic feeling, and you'd be correct. And that's enough to give somebody sometimes, is authentic feeling of being a human being. And then we don't always need to be wise or clever. All you have to be is alive and there for somebody to say, I am also alive. I am also temporary. I am also fragile. And I am not a wise man. And I'm not a doctor. And I don't know everything. And when I look at it, I think I know very little. My experience has been very little. I run out of stories to tell at parties in exactly 27 minutes. I'm done. I either have to leave or go and watch a video or something. And I will do that. I'll go watch a video of your vacation. And they're just so I don't have to talk. But sometimes it's enough that we're all in there watching that video in silence. Let's say five of us. And we're communicating the same thing. We are having rest together. We understand that it's enough, that our presence is enough, that our warm body is enough to remind each other of what life is really all about. And what's that? I don't know. I'll tell you next week. The reason I say that is because I ordered it, but I haven't gotten it yet. That's this explanation of what life's all about. I found it on, first of all, I bid on it, and I got sniped or snaped or whatever they call it. And so then I found one that was just buy it now. So I bought it now, but it's not here yet. And I hope it's good. I hope it's the actual meaning. Sometimes it's a reprint. But I'm hoping for it's authentic. I think, and everything, meaning I think has to be customized like a calling card. I'm still looking for my calling cards from high school. I know I got them. I actually needed one the other day, and I didn't have it. I don't know whether to get new, and now you can print them yourself, probably, not business cards, calling cards. Business cards have phone number and everything. This just has your name in script to let people know you were somewhere. You dropped them off to let people know you were at a place, and a business card is tacky if it's for something else. Like, for instance, my friend the Countess. I just went by because I owed her money. So I paperclipped the money to my calling card. And I left it. I said, and I wrote a little note on the back. $2 I owed you for that bet, Countess. Keep it up. She's a trap. She is nuts. And she's long dead, too. There's somebody. There's somebody's long dead. She's just an animated corpse. Am I scaring you enough for Halloween? And then they realized that voice was coming from the radio. Am I scary to you? I meant perhaps I do. You know, it'd be scary. Is if this was a recording, I died late yesterday, and they still played it just to scare the heck out of you. I would allow that to happen. I wouldn't know it happened. It would deprive me of the joy of knowing that would happen. That's why I have to fantasize about things like that. Oh, I think sometimes what the world will be when Hardy White is gone, and it won't be the world that was here before Hardy White got here. Why is that? Because Kennedy is also dead. So, yes, things are always in a flux state. Things are not going to be the same without you, but they weren't the same with you. So we all come into this life, and we try to do something, and we end up not doing anything. But we do it with great vigor. a lot of times, and gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands, very seriously. I tell you, it's so wonderful to see people do something so pointless with such conviction over and over every day. My goodness. You take something like life, which to me, it looks to me essentially meaningless, and everybody every day comes up with some kind of meaning and goes out there and does something to give it meaning. And say, isn't that what the wise men say, that life has no meaning unless you give it meaning? And I say, I don't know, man. That's like saying the wall has no color until you imagine it's red. It's still not red. But bless your heart, whatever you have to do. I'm doing whatever I can do to not go crazy. And that's what I think that you should try to do. Just do whatever you have to do to not go crazy. I have really nothing to tell you. I really have not a lot of advice. All I can do is remind you that pain makes other people do stupid things, and fear makes other people do stupid things. So don't make people afraid. And that's all. That's all I have to say. And I still got 10 minutes left. So I'm going to tell you a ghost story. When I was 12 years old, my grandfather died, and he died at home. And then he haunted the house. He did not. I added that part because really they just came and took him away. And then it was very sad, and we went to the funeral. But that night, he haunted us. And he didn't, though. But I imagine, I wonder what he would have been wearing if he was haunting us. I guess you just get a feeling sometimes. I'm not seeing anything. I just feel like you're wearing the yellow blazer. So my grandfather, after he retired, he liked to wear colorful sports coats. Wouldn't you go to the racetrack or something? I would. Sell a little real estate part-time, and then a little haunting after death, a little bit, and then cocktails. I'm not sure how I'm going to spend eternity. I guess sitting on a cloud I'm going to use an auto harp because I like that kind of music. Regular harp, very hard. But an auto harp, we could get together and play all the great Carter family stuff. Oh, I'm going to meet the Carter family in the afterlife. I'm going to tell people right now I'm going to get to meet them. I'll lie. So people like me better. I say, I'm going to get to meet the Carter family when I'm dead. I say, well, there's no way you can prove that. Uh-huh. I got a certificate. Back of a comic book. I was at the doctor's. Don't think it was a real waiting room. Think it was a metaphorical waiting room. And I was looking through a metaphorical highlights magazine, or maybe it was an old Spider-Man comic book. And right there's an ad. And the ad said, spend the afterlife with your favorite celebrities. And so I filled it out, and I clipped it out, and I sent in a dollar. Now I got a certificate back, and it said, Carter family. And, oh, man, that is exciting. And I believe you. I didn't believe you before. Let me see a certificate. There's been a terrible mistake. It says comedian Jack Carter. And I don't even know if he's dead yet. You could get there before him. Oh, no, man, I wish you had looked at that for me. That's always, please, always, before you order anything out of a comic book, please check with your attorney. Always run it by them. And I know that will cost $400. And really, you just want to buy a $1 x-ray vision specs. But still, it'll save you a lot of grief. Because you don't know what you're agreeing to a lot of the time. Say, if I get this, am I then in some kind of army? You don't know. So the spy stuff, especially. Say, well, who am I spying for exactly? I got all this spy information. Now that I got this mini camera, I don't know. You know? Who wants this? I got a microfilm roll here in my sister's underwear drawer. I'm thinking a foreign government might want it. So I'm going to shop it around. Dear Russia, here's my sister's panties. Not yet. Somebody, who did I eventually sell it to? Sweden? They'll buy anything. The Swede said, you had me at panty. I said, all right. And would you like to do more spying for us? Like, I'm good. They said, we have a whole amateur section, group called Swedish Amateurs. And they go out there and they do the spy work for us. Say, no, thank you. I'm good. And I am. Because I used to work for Dutch Amateurs. Also, spy organization. I no longer do. I don't want to spy. I'm not interested in what other people do in private. Because I know what I do in private. And I'm not interested in seeing that. Which is why I've taken out all the mirrors and reflective material off the walls everywhere. I don't want to see anything. I used to have cameras everywhere so I could watch myself coming and going like that. So where have I been? In case I forgot. You know how it is. So did I just go in the bedroom and look for that wallet or something? Camera. I go and I look at it. And then I forget where I was looking for altogether. It's easy to get off on a tangent like that. It's easy to get branchy like that. Forget to come back. Go off. Drift out somewhere. Wander off. Where did I wander to? I find that life has been in one big wander for me. I keep feeling like I'm wandering off a central path, but there's no central path to get back on. It's just the wandering. There is nothing that comes back and picks me up and takes me on this straight path that I was on. It's just a drift. It's just a stroll. And crazy things happen. They send you off in other directions. Bing, 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 bing. Like a pinball machine. Or pachinko. If you live in Asia. Because there's more people. See, that was a population density reference. But you get battered around like that. Then it's gone. Then it's over. Then it's over. Enjoy the wandering. Enjoy the meandering. Enjoy this haunted house that doesn't go anywhere. Enjoy the villa of horror, the villa of ours. Enjoy your miracle nutrition with Hardy White. Yes, that's what. Is that what I'm listening to? Yes, it's miracle nutrition. It's not scary. It's not a haunted house. It's just on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in Rockland County. It's not scary. Am I being scary? Rockland County. I'm not. Am I being scary? 91.9 Rockland County. I might not have said that officially clearly enough. So if you've just negated this whole station ID because you weren't doing it seriously. I'm sorry, I didn't know. Yeah, if you mess it up or put anything in, it might as well not have happened. Oh, man, I'm not good at that. I try to be a team player, but the whole me sucking thing is difficult for the team. Yeah, I agree. But I'm going to stick with it because I think the team needs me. Oh, that's very arrogant of you. All right, yes. Well, still, I need the team. That's better. Yes, okay, sorry. That's really what it is. And I need you, my friend. I need you. If there's nobody listening to what I'm saying, there's nothing happening. You know, this is an interaction. So I'm so blessed that you're paying any attention to my words. It gives me great joy. Because what I'm just trying to do is lift a couple hearts or something. If I can do that, I feel like I have some purpose. That's all there is. There's nowhere to go with that, except all you have to do is have your heart lifted, and everything I will have succeeded, and then I can feel like a success. And then when I go to any kind of family thing, I won't feel as much self-loathing. So thank you for that. And please join me again next week for more of the Miracle Nutrition, and I will see you again soon.
got it. God got everything to give me. Oh, if it's money, God got it now. God got everything that you need. If it's money, God got it.
And you're tuned to Sinner's Crossroads here on listener-supported Freeform WFMU. Right there. Yeah. My name is Kevin Nutt. I was Reverend Charlie Jackson on the Booker record label, letting you know that God's got it. Reverend Charlie Jackson has got it. Hopefully Sinner's Crossroads has it. And we know WFMU has it. And right before that, starting the show off this evening, the Gospel 6 on the Checker record label. Blow Wind Blow. That's what they were singing about. Both of those records come courtesy of the 45 RPM revolutions per minute vinyl media. It's a singles going steady week here on WFMU, and most, if not all, FMU DJs are playing 45 RPM records from their collections or from the FMU library. Here on Sinner's Crossroads, of course, we play 45s every week. We have to for your gospel experience. But in honor and singles going steady week at WFMU, we will be playing